What's good, podcast? I hope everybody's doing super well during this time. I haven't done a pre-roll recording in a little while. Couple things on my mind. First, I just hope you're well. Second, winetext.com, WineText. If you haven't signed up, it's a huge mistake. It has exploded. If you're following me on social, you know what I'm talking about. Winetext.com, ridiculously great wines at even more ridiculous prices.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Gary V, what's up, man?
Men, so excited to be with you.
Dude, you shaved for the occasion? Look at you.
I did. I cleaned up. I knew you guys were pretty clean, so I was like, you know, I don't want to be weird. I need to be part of the club.
Nah, dude. Hey, I love watching your videos. You're kicking so much ass. We appreciate you making time for us. It's a throwback Thursday, Gary. So, you know, my first question is, actually, first off, congrats on everything.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, thank you. Thanks for saying that. It's a build. It doesn't happen overnight, right, as you talk about. But I mean, to see your success over the last couple of years is sort of fun to watch from our perspective.
Incredible. And I got to be honest, Gary, you know, you worked with us for a minute. I was a naysayer at first. And and it's that thin line, though, right?
I totally get it. I keep going. What were you going to say?
I was like, oh, man, what do we have with Gary Vaynerchuk? And man, you won me over so hard, and I'm now one of your biggest fans and supporters. So I appreciate everything you say.
Kavita went from "fuck Gary Vaynerchuk" to "yo, I watch all this guy's shit, and he's amazing." Like,
yeah, you get it, man.
Listen, I get it the most when you've got kind of this Jersey energy and you've got conviction and you're coming at it hard. Like, look, 8 out of 10 people that come at it the way I come at it are actually the worst.
Right, right.
I'm super empathetic for the hot take that I suck. And then my plan is like, look, I'm going to execute for 70 years and the chips will fall where they fall.
But you've opened my eyes, because now when I feel that way, I'm like, well, maybe I love this person or this thing and I just don't know it yet. And maybe that thing is TikTok, and we'll get to that in a minute.
You know, at one point you loved your ex-wife, Kavino. So
yes,
you can love and hate things.
Right.
And you know what? I want to start with TikTok.
Do you want
it? Okay. Only, you know, months ago I said, fuck it, I got to get on this thing and see what it's all about. It's fun. It's interesting. And Kavino and Spot busted my balls, being like, what are you, a teenage girl? And I thought of you, Gary, as one of the people that said, innovate or die.
Right.
And I know that's one of your phrases that we love, innovate or die. What do you say to the guys that listen to our show that are 30, 40-something-year-old guys that say, fuck TikTok, that's for kids?
Look, I think they're going to – I need – all they have to do is a history lesson. They said the same thing about Instagram. They said the same thing about social media. Oh, by the way, they said the same thing about smartphones because their fucking beeper was good enough. You know, like, you know, this has been the game over and over. I mean, I was on Musical.ly 4.5 years ago and then TikTok constantly. And, you know, everybody does this. They hate change. And to me, what I say to, you know, I love your audience. So like, I feel like these are my homies. Like, look, my big thing is like the same way I handle my homies. Like, I'll tell you it. I can't make you do it. Mm-hmm. And I can't wait to see you in 18 months when you're crying about missing out on it.
Yeah. Right. And I feel that way a little bit with us with Instagram, because we were like, yeah, we got Twitter, we got Facebook, and you're late to the party. When you're late to the party, it really is hard to cultivate.
It's harder to cultivate
followers and audience when you're the late guy.
It's real estate. Like, you know, the people that move to Dumbo or Brooklyn early, or like, you know, like they get the better deal. You can still come, and if you're best and you build the quote unquote nicest house, you two are actually talented. So I always feel that you have the ability to come a little later and do your thing. But the reality is there's a reason there's something called first mover advantage. And so while people say no, you know, most of my modern career has been built on saying yes, tasting it. Sometimes it's social cam, sometimes it's Vine and it's good for a year and it goes away. I'm not heartbroken when it does go away. Facebook used to be no, and then it was all youth, and now it's all grandmas. Like, shit evolves. Yeah.
You know what? Yeah. That's such a great way to look at it. Real estate. I love that analogy. All right. So for the guy like me, it's not that I don't see the benefit, right? Especially professionally. It's not that I don't see the fun. Me and my girlfriend sit there and we watch these videos all the time because they make us laugh. I just feel personally.
And you're not a savage, by the way. You're not bougie.
I'm not a savage.
You're not,
you know,
you're not ratchet.
But that's the
sassy thing.
Gary, how do you feel, you know, for the guy that just doesn't feel like it's my style? I appreciate it.
I respect
the
that.
Benefits.
Honestly, I respect that. But I would also say, don't let the platform style force you into a style. Like, I just filmed a wine video because I know wine, like wine, and make wine video. TikTok was underaged people 4 minutes ago. Wine was not quote unquote appropriate. If somebody's like, I've seen lawyers land 7-figure deals on a single TikTok because they got over themselves. So what I would say is, look, never do anything if you don't want to, not because I say it, not because other people are saying it. On the flip side, then shut your fucking mouth when everybody's winning on it. Don't complain about it after the fact. So if you're consistent, you win. If you're not gonna do it, and then when it happens, because it always happens,
don't bitch.
You know, then stay quiet.
Yeah.
You know, stay quiet.
Right, I notice what you're saying, Gary, because on TikTok, you're right. It's a lot of little dance moves and kids.
And but you know what you can find? I don't feel like the old guy at the club, you know?
But you know what you can find, though? You don't want to get old unnecessarily quickly. But there are people giving financial advice, business advice. There's a whole world of 100%. People on social media doing stuff like that. I saw some guy
Who gives a shit if a 14-year-old girl thinks you're old? Like, there's also that part. Like, can we get our self-esteem up? Like, I get it. Nobody wants to be the old guy in a club, but that means you're insecure about the reaction. And by the way, the old guy in a club, he leaves happy once in a while.
You know what? I like that. That is funny. Gary Vaynerchuk hanging out with Covino and Rich.
Gary, I saw you shooting the shit with A-Rod the other day.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Is that surreal to you? Because I know you've been at your hustle for a long time, and I know you love to point out shit's not overnight.
But he is a sports guy.
But you're a sports guy. Yeah. You've built your career up to
every time.
And guys,
every time.
And guys like A-Rod, you're sitting with him and you're
Forget about A-Rod, like washed up Jets that played a half a season DMing me and saying like, you know, like it goes to the top. Like, you know, I did a live with Mello the other, yes, every single time I get a DM and say, I'm a fan, or I see they follow me, or I do something with content, or I'm on your show, guys. Like, let me shoot it super real. Every time I'm like, 17-year-old me would be like, holy shit. You know, like I always knew that I had it, but I never take it for granted. So it's kind of like, I'm not surprised. I'd be so full of shit if I said I'm surprised. I think I'm gonna buy the New York Jets. That's not gonna surprise me.
And I love that you want to buy the Jets. That is amazing. I just don't know what that will do to your fucking heart, man. I mean,
right.
It's gonna make it happy because my heart breaks now because I'm not in control. But when I get control, I'm going to win a fucking Super Bowl. That's what it's going
to
do.
You know what it is, though, Gary? It's like, you know, someone wants to become president. And then you see whether it's Bush or Obama, what they look like afterwards. I mean, Gary,
this is the reverse. This is the reverse. Us Jet fans look like shit because what's going on.
Oh, I got it. Yeah.
You know, I need to get in there and kind of put some smiles on our faces.
Wow. So, yeah, the Jets' goal, is that your motivation right now? Because, I mean, you're already successful. You're already
– It never was. The success was – I'm all process, guys. Mm-hmm. The goal is to keep playing. You know, being an entrepreneur wasn't cool in the 80s. And when I was selling baseball cards and making a bunch of money, my teachers thought I was a loser. Like, there was no breathing room for entrepreneurship. But I always loved it so much that I was willing to pay the ramifications of judgment and fight against the machine. And so now it's the flip. Yes, things have gone well, but like I promise you, take the financial aspects out of being an entrepreneur. There's an ungodly amount of firemen, teachers, doctors, you know, artists that are so stupid happy. And they may not have the financial rewards on the other end, but they're like super duper happy. Like, you know, it's really fun to do. I don't know you guys well enough to know, but do what you're doing for a living. Like think back to the earliest moments, whether it was as a kid or maybe later on, like you're doing it. And there's like, listen, if we can redefine success as happiness versus the financial part, would I like to buy the New York Jets? Of course, because it would be a fucking ridiculous like journey, right? Like it would be silly, but the chase for the Jets is much more fun.
Yeah, it's a dumb analogy, but I always said my favorite day of the year was Christmas Eve. The anticipation of Christmas was always better than Christmas Day.
I'm exactly the same way. I get so fired up for vacations because I need to reset, but the second the plane hits the ground in like Turks and Caicos, I start getting upset because everything up to that moment was the good part. Now I'm on the other side and now it's declining.
Right. You're a guy that loves the chase. But when you were single with women, the chase, 100%. The journey is what it's 100%. All about. Gary, I know you got kids, and you know my daughter's about to be 3. I have a newborn boy. Covino's daughter's 10. So we're all living this dad life.
Yep.
I saw a video you did that really hit home with me, and I want you to talk a little bit about how parents now could criticize their kids for being on social media.
I made
stuff
my
like
daughter
that.
Watch this one and because it justified my parenting, to be honest. I was like, that's why dad allows you on the tablet all the time.
Because the reality is people will say that, and you forget when we were younger, we were in front of Nintendo and Sega and Atari, and girls were reading magazines, laying on their bed. And
yeah, why should a piece of print paper not be demonized, but a screen be it's silliness. It's parents by nature are scared because we love them so much. Right? It's not super complicated.
Well, where's the balance, Gary, where you want to limit your kid, but you don't want your kid to be a weirdo who doesn't know how to use this modern day technology?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to be weirdos because there's no way they're not going to know the modern day technology. It's too encompassing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's too encompassing. I think the balance, first of all, I like to talk about macro parenting dynamics because I think it leads to self-esteem, which then leads to professionalism. It's all that stuff. But I would never have the audacity to talk to people about actually raising their individual child. These are all individual needs and things of that nature. What I can tell you is history has a funny way of frowning on parents. I know for fact that the Tony Hawk of video games, AKA the person in the 80s and 90s that was the best video game player, he or she got told to be a lawyer, doctor, and they would have got, if their parents supported it, they would have gone on to be the OG ninja and booga of esports right now, and probably be making $5 million a year on appearances and brand deals. And that makes me sad. And parents do that all the time. Like now parents that care about money, which is often, whether they have it or they don't have it, they tend to force their kids in that place. A lot of those parents thought their kids that would be doctors would be the richest people in their 40s now, and they're not even in the game compared to entrepreneurs or athletes or other things. So we have to have this conversation with parents, which is you're demonizing technology mainly based on somebody else's opinion.
Yes, and you often talk about the broken school system. You know, so many great things to talk to Gary Vaynerchuk about. More reasons to check out his videos. Something that has rung a chord with me recently. Again, I think we all grew
rung
up.
Rung a chord, huh?
Yes. Is that a statement?
I would say it.
Hey, rung a chord.
I made it up. Okay. I'm an innovator. Gary.
You fucking innovated. I'm impressed.
Innovator die, bro.
Wait till you see. I'm going to drop rung a chord in one of my videos. You're going to be like, that was it.
But I'm on the fly. Not to name drop, but the other day, Dennis Quaid tried to quote us on another show.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
He butchered it.
I was saying how, you know, during this quarantine, we're trying to.
By the way, does Quaid,
he's rich.
Is he allowed? No, I understand. But is that allowed for name dropping? Is he at that scale?
I don't think it's a weird name drop. It is a weird name drop. But
you're like, not to name drop. I'm like, oh, he's going to say The Rock. He's like, not to name drop. Dennis Quaid. I'm like, what?
I believe it was Barack Obama who said this to me the other day.
We were trying to say how during this quarantine, we want to turn dilemmas into dilemonade. And he's like, oh,
that's
that.
Good.
I like that.
Yeah, but by the way, I like that too. That's pretty legit.
Oh, hey, you could use that. I made it up. He tried to quote it on Fox News later that day and totally butchered
What'd
it.
What did he say?
What's he, diarrhea instead of dilemma? Like, where'd he go?
What did he say,
He said, Spot? Make dilemmas out of dilemonade.
And that makes no fucking sense. Yeah. All right, so, you know,
anyway,
rung a chord with me.
Oh, yeah. We got back to your rung a chord.
Strum the – I don't know what
yeah,
the
Yeah, no, do it. Do it. It's good.
Throwback Thursday baseball cards, man.
Grew up
loving them, obsessed with them. And all of a sudden, you're like the first guy saying, hey, keep them. And you're in people's garage sales rummaging for them now because you're saying they will have value again.
It's not our era. The 80s, 90s is the junk wax era. So it's you mix two things. I'm totally about the – garage sale flip, it's probably unlikely you'll find a garage sale card because most of them are our era. The modern stuff and the super old stuff is insane. I mean, I'm getting 25 to 50 emails and DMs a day of people that have made significant money during COVID because they just got, because I was super loud the 4 or 5 months right up to COVID about sports cards. Bro, LeBron rookies were $1,100 a year ago. They went to 8,000.
Now let's explain the thinking too. The reason that the ones that we grew up with a long time ago don't have value.
Supply and demand.
Mass produced, right?
Supply and demand.
The ones previous had value because everyone's mothers
threw them out.
Right? And so
the ones afters, they, you know, in the 2000s, the Kobe's, the LeBron's, they didn't make as much because there wasn't as much demand. Mm-hmm. And now on the flip side, it's here. And all the sneaker kids that are flippers, all the, you know, they're just entrepreneurship at scale. People love sports, gambling, because the way they do it now, you can buy a pack of, you know, a pack of basketball cards and pull an $8,000 Zion out of a card, out of a pack. We didn't have that. We had like a $2 Greg Jeffries you could pull out of a pack. Now it's like.
He was a future star, Gary.
Future star.
I believe that Greg Jeffries.
Swung underwater.
Guys, I have the amount of Greg.
Scorecards.
Yes, Greg Jeffries, Kevin Moss. I mean, yeah. I was just going to build a mansion with my Kevin Moss rookies.
Yeah.
My Jeff Musselman cards, all the random 80s cards. Corey Snyder. I thought my Mark McGwire traded rookie card was going to be worth billions.
Yeah, you're right. The King was the Canseco rated rookie.
Yep.
Oh, so that was Donruss rated rookie. That was a monster. Yep. I was a big Wally Joyner guy. I was convinced he was the
best.
He had best
a swing. Wally Joyner. Swing. Him and Will Clark had great swings.
So let's talk about some of the treasures, because I love your teachings. Yes, it's business. Yes, it's schools and systems and parenting. But now you're going to garage sales and you're finding old toys and old baseball cards, and you're reselling them, not for your own enjoyment or to teach. Can you
teach? I'm donating the money to teach.
Are you? Okay.
I'm trying to. What happened is, to your point, like earlier, and I appreciate it. As more people became aware of me, I just kept reading the comments. I keep reading the comments, and I was like, oh, people are looking for an excuse. And so I started getting emails like, Gary, this is great about like investing and all this stuff, but I don't have any money. Like, cool. Like, great that you told that person to put $3,000 in Amazon and he made $40,000, but I don't have $3,000. I'm in $84 in debt. Right. And So I kept listening. And so I just went back to what I did early on. Like, you know, like garage sailing, it's actually uncomfortable how much money is sitting in a Goodwill, a garage sale, at thrift stores. Oh, by the way, for everybody listening, in your house right now, like 84% of the things in everyone's home is useless to them. They take a picture, they put it on Facebook Marketplace, and somebody comes to their house and gives them $43 for something that's rotting in their basement, closet, garage, attic, or literally directly in their living room or den or bedroom. So, honestly, it was trying to help people go from $800 in debt to $2,000 in base of like to then start their Shopify business or the next step. So I kind of went alpha in like my, hey, I'm going to teach you, here it is for free. Like, and it became now, then I decided to film it. I'm an entertaining character. It is by nature an entertaining model. That's why Storage Wars and Flippers does well. And then the stuff just got crazy, right? Like, I bought a bunch of Olympic pins for $20. They sold for $4,400. Across 89 auctions, you know, people see that because what's cool about it is I'm not editing like on TV. You like see me literally walk up, like it's super raw. Like I walk up, I'm like, how much you want for the pins? He's like $40. I'm like, you take 20? Yes. You take it back. And it's really taught a lot of people. And then that led to the sports cards, because garage sailing, you can only get to 13, 15, 20 on a Saturday. You know, sports cards, you believe in Juan Soto from the Nationals. You can buy 1,000 of them right now. And if you're, I bought thousands of Giannis rookie cards 2 years ago before the season because I thought he was the next superstar. We paid $180. They're $2,400 a piece. That's real returns.
Wow, dude.
Shit.
You know what I love too, though? There's some comedy there because he's trying to teach, though, Rich. Here's a guy who wants to buy the Jets. You want to buy the actual Jets, but you're haggling over a $20 Jets jacket.
And the comments are wild, right? Like you get the one group that's like, man, this guy's super humble. Like the fuck's he doing for, and then you get the other people like, this guy's the biggest piece of shit of all time. Oh, you're fucking right? Millionaire. You're fucking humble. Millionaire. Why are you ripping off this poor family in Germany?
He'll go to, how much do you want for this Jets jacket? And they're like $20. He's like, I'll give you $7.
But bro, you have to understand when you're teaching, you have to be literal. And I'm scared that people are just going to pay like nobody on earth. Every person on earth that pays the exact price for an item at a garage sale should get punched in the throat.
Yes. Gary, if people don't get it, they're bozos. You know, that's what makes you awesome. That's who you are in the root of it, you know, so we appreciate it.
And, you know, based on what you're saying, this is a great reminder for a lot of guys and women our age. If you're in your 30s or 40s and your parents are in that world of downsizing and they're going through their house, they may throw out a lot of shit.
Oh, dude.
You take a look. If mom and dad are like, I'm cleaning out the attic,
minimizing.
You go there. If they're going to minimize, you got to go there and go through their shit with them.
I'm telling you right now, you teach somebody how to flip something on the internet, literally teach somebody how to do that, I'll show you somebody who really gets out of debt quickly.
Hey, Throwback Thursday, I think the Masters of the Universe will get some value again because they're coming back. He-Man or Cooper Mac. So,
are you kidding me? If you have a fresh Ram Man toy in your attic, you're set for a good 16 to 23 bucks.
I got that one. That plastic cheap one, I got that.
Yeah. You got Moss Man?
Yeah, I got them all.
What about Stinkor? Remember Stinkor?
Of course.
Stinkor. Hey, Gary, I just want to bring this up real quick, Camino. Meanwhile, here, I just cut you off. Patience. Gary, I read a quote recently, and it was like, he who can master patience can master anything. And I'm trying to stick with that, whether it's with my family, the stock market,
success,
business, anything, patience. Is that something you had to deal with? Because you're an aggressive East Coast guy as well. Did you have to early on be like, patience?
It's 35% of my content, my team told me recently, touches on patience. It's, bro, I was stocking shelves in a liquor store when I was 27 years old.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there telling people I'm buying the Jets, and everyone's looking at me like straight delusion. I just, life is long. Patience doesn't mean laziness. Mm-hmm. You know, this is where people get caught up. I'm micro fast, I'm macro slow.
Got it.
Right? Like banging out 15, you see where I'm going? Every day I'm going fast. Like I'll hang up from this and go directly into the next thing, and it is a 13-hour day, hard. But in the macro, I'm not trying to cut corners, invest in a fast deal. So much of my audience, so much of my buddies, like, oh, they're like, Gary, I'm going to put 10,000 into this. It's cryptocurrency. It's cannabis. It's this. It's the next hot thing. It's like this neighborhood. And I'm like, cool. Do you understand it? Like, you know, I don't look down on anybody doing anything. I just ask questions. They're like, I'm going to invest in this CBD business because it's the next thing. I'm like, what do you know about it? Well, this my guy's guy is telling me this guy, you know, anything that starts with my man's man or my guy's guy, like, or my buddy's buddy, I'm like, you're in deep shit already.
Hey, Gary, with
that's a good indicator.
Everyone thinks they got a guy.
I like that.
With the way the market was over the last months because of the coronavirus.
I bought like crazy.
I was gonna say, you bought like crazy as well. Were you hesitant on, because when it comes to airlines and some, you know, ETFs
I didn't buy that.
Cruise ships. Do you believe these are going to bounce back?
I don't know. I've
been eyeing up MGM. MGM is one. I'm like, it's $15, $16. And I'm like, will the casino world come back? And some of those.
Here's what you have to be careful about. The casino world. Every state lost so much money. Every state's about to legalize gambling and they're going to do it digitally. And so all of a sudden, those beautiful hotels in Vegas are great for like guys and gals that want to go have a fun weekend. But not as much for the person that needs to get their gambling fix off because they can sit in their house in Mississippi or Indiana. Got it? So, and by the way, with businesses at that scale, if they just have a 20% decline because people are scared, using 9/11 as a comp is important. You know, like the world is forever different. Like, let there be no confusion. Like, the world is forever different. And I think that the answer is, I don't know, but I know that there's other things that were super low that aren't going to be affected and we're going to grow. Facebook, Netflix, Amazon, you know, so there was...
It jumped up big yesterday.
Yeah. Hey, Gary, I want to ask you about all your success and surrounding yourself with the right people because you have so many things going on, right? And you have all these videos that are out constantly with great content all the time. You talked about your team and your friends. How many people are working for you and how do you find these people and how do you surround yourself with the right people? Let's talk about that.
I have a 1,000-person media agency. There's a 25-person Gary Vee team that helps me make these hundreds of pieces of content a day. The truth is I only probably need 6 or 7, but I'm training them and I'm spitting them into VaynerMedia. So I'm doing like a Navy SEALs Army kind of thing.
I love it.
I find them by trial and error. I literally, this is not a joke, guys. I guess. And this blows people's mind. And I always wonder why. I think people overanalyze hiring. I go on my intuition. I guess because I have good intuition, but I get tricked all the time, but I'm in control. If Ricky looked the part and said he was going to hustle and was so creative and then comes in and smoking weed in the corner all day, like I fire him. It's not super hard.
Yeah.
Like people are scared to be wrong. And I like being wrong.
Yeah, I've heard you say that. I've heard being wrong does not scare you. Making the wrong, it sort of motivates you.
I love these people who are like, I'm great at hiring, and then it's because they don't fire people because they don't want to be wrong at hiring, even though they suck.
And by the way, I know from fact that years ago, the legend is he fired my brother-in-law from the wine library,
which was a great move.
Yes, it's the single best move of my career.
You know what? I don't blame you. No, now, I don't know.
Looking back, I mean, what a move.
Yeah, I know. Let's talk about your sneaker deal, man. We're talking about childhood dreams, buying the Jets and things like that.
That
you have a sneaker, dude. How does that work? How do you make that happen? And how do I get up here?
cold. You get a pair by emailing me. It's done. Get
this, love it.
Literally, Gary at VaynerMedia, tell me the shoe size done. Yeah. It was really cool. My macro thesis of how I'm going to buy the Jets is I'm building this agency and I'm building this huge machine, call it a Death Star, and then I want to point it at things. And some of the things will be altruistic. I want to cure Crohn's disease because my brother has it. I want to probably help somebody become president one day. And then I want to buy businesses and flip them. So K-Swiss came along, sent me an email and said, hey, we're going to go into entrepreneurship. We can't compete with Nike and athletes. We can't compete with, you know, Adidas right now because the Yeezys and culture. We think entrepreneurship's a pillar. We want to go after it. We think you're the guy. So I set up the meeting because it looked like they were saying a Gary Vee sneaker, not an influencer deal where I would take some K-Swiss, the white sneakers, and be like, buy this. And that's what they did mean. And so I'm like, you know, literally the meeting was like, so you mean like my signature on the sneaker, like the Gary Vee? And they're like, yep. I'm like, let's go. Because it really did, to your point, two things. One, fucking 1986 Edison, New Jersey, Gary Vee is like losing his mind, who wore Adidas's with no shoelaces. But number two, it allowed me to test my biggest thesis, which is how far along am I in my mission to be able to take a brand like K-Swiss, which was completely dormant for years. You have to be really over 42 to remember K-Swiss's heyday when it was like when Mike Tyson and Dr. Dre would wear them. It was really a West Coast iced tea. It was really a gangster West Coast white on white kind of thing and make it cool again. And it worked extremely well. And last year, K-Swiss sold the company to a major Chinese conglomerate. So they made a fortune on the back end of the right execution.
Well, props on that. Wow. And speaking of entrepreneurship and you just wanting to help people all the time, any interest in getting on Shark Tank and things like that? I'm such in that zone since we're quarantined.
Do you want to be a judge? You want to be one of the panel? Shark?
Like a Cuban.
So something that's really confused a lot of people, especially my friends in inner circle, especially when the email came into my admins. So I actually turned down being on it.
Okay.
But as a rotator, not one of the core. Yeah,
right.
Mainly because I do want to get into business television in my career. And I didn't want to be on 3 or 4 episodes. If they called me and said, look, Mr. Wonderful or Cuban are done, we need another big face, I would have considered it much more. But I didn't want to be a number 4. I would rather start The Voice and put American Idol out of business. So like, that's how I was thinking. I don't want to go on Shark Tank, AKA be the last judge that was on American Idol. Let me work on a format that could be The Voice to Shark Tank's American Idol. And that's how my brain works.
Love it.
Of those big players, who do you look at and say, wow, I really like the model they use to you know, in their business world? Is it Cuban? Is it Mr. Wonderful? Is it Lori? Is it who do you like?
I think Cuban's a beast. I think he has a lot of cultural knowledge and very good business capabilities.
And great TikTok dances with his kids.
And great TikTok dances. I like the way Damon is. I think he's conservative. And like stays in his lane, doesn't need to get into every deal, uses what he's good at. I don't know I know the others well, like Robert and Barb, I know them. I don't know their business capabilities or executions as well. To me, the only person I've really, like the two people that stand out to me the most, and the success has proven it out, and there's unlimited videos of me 10 years ago saying these two guys. I love the Spanx founder. I think Sarah's amazing. But I'm obsessed with being historically correct about Zucks and Bezos. I think the way they play is long, and I think the way they play is super thoughtful, and I understand what they're doing, and so I'm a big fan of those two executors.
You know, I'm wondering if there's any other ways to capitalize, your time, but, you know, because you're full of knowledge, but anything that people should be doing during this quarantine?
Final parting shots.
Yeah, exactly, that we're not doing.
Making content on the internet will unlock happiness and often financial success for 99% of this audience that's listening. Whether that's on LinkedIn and talking about how you're a financial planner, whether that's doing one silly thing with your bagel shop on TikTok that builds up awareness, you know, it is about content. It's media, guys. It's what you do so well. Like the internet has you don't need Sirius or CBS or the New York Times anymore. The internet is the platform.
Yeah.
Apps on top of it are the current platforms, right? And I just don't understand how people don't get it. Like MTV put a ton of bands out of business and put Madonna on a platform, right? Like Dane Cook was the biggest comedian in the world when he was winning on MySpace. right? Like, it's not complicated. DJ Khaled.
History shows you these things, like you said earlier.
DJ Khaled's completely rebooted his career, which was a solid career, but couldn't put him in a totally different. DJ Khaled's completely still on the backbone of what Snapchat did for him. I don't understand how people don't get it.
Yeah. How do you grow a brand that's already there in a saturated market where there are so many things? Like, I think of us all the time. Like, I feel so confident in what we do, but there's a million podcasts.
It pisses me off that you guys don't take this clip and make 73 pieces of content from it. I don't know what to tell you. That
we will. You know,
let's step into that Gary VaynerMedia. Yeah. Gary Vaynerchuk that you got going on. Yeah. You got a whole team.
But honestly, like, you guys can really do that. You really could. And you guys could be huge on TikTok, like uncomfortably huge.
Well, that's the plan, I guess.
See, Kavita,
goal. But I don't have to work on my dance moves. You got to stay in your lane. That's what we learned here.
And a dance once in a while.
Hey, Gary, what do you got working on right now? What's cooking? As my dad would say, what's cooking? Throwback Thursday.
The All-In Challenge. AllInChallenge.com. Okay. I don't know if this hit everyone's radar. We've raised $25 million in 2 weeks. Unreal. All these crazy, like, auctions and raffles. Michael Rubin, the founder of Fanatics, came up with the idea. Alan Tisch and I jumped on board, and we're just really pushing that. So that matters a lot to me. If you're listening right now, $10 raffle ticket, you could be, the sweeps are insane. I mean, eat with the Kardashians in an episode of the show, be there for the Friends taping and meet the entire cast. Like, some of the stuff is just, be in Kevin Hart's movie. Some of the stuff's just insane.
I think one of them I saw was like you're Tom Brady's best friend for a day or something.
Yeah, Tom Brady, this ended. This was an auction. This wasn't a $10 thing. It sold for $800,000.
Yeah.
Tom Brady flies you to the first game in Tampa. You get on the field, you sit, you know, first row. And then after the game, you go to dinner and hang out with Tom the whole night. And he gives you the cleats and the jersey that he wore in his first Tampa game.
Gary, one last parting shot from me. For everyone that says this generation is lazy and entitled, what do you say to the old grumps that love to say that?
You fucking raised them, asshole.
You paid for them.
You did it.
Look what you did.
comma, 98% of them are working hard, are amazing, and actually have a much better relationship with money and care about happiness versus a new TV or BMW. But yes, there's a level of entitlement. It happens because America's a rich country and you paid for their Equinox. So do not shit on your kid when you pay for their Uber or their apartment. You're the one enabling them fucking sucking.
It's a great point.
Gary V.
Thank you so much for your time, man. Love you, man.
And we hope to have you back at the studio and on our ESPN show. Thank you for being on Covino and Rich.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness, I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is The Best Content and Advice Ever by Angela Chillen. Gary is one of the most genuinely kind individuals out there. He is so concentrated on helping the other person when he talks to them. When he listens to others' questions, he's so good at pinpointing how to deliver the advice so they get it. Gary is like a consultant, masterful marketer, business strategist, parent, therapist, psychologist, literally everything but in one body. You have to give his content a listen. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.